Talk about the Greens, that bunch of idiots.
Hey there, Climactic Collective listeners.
I'm Emerald Moon.
And I'm Tom Bella.
And together we host Serious Danger,
a podcast about Australia's broken political system and its greatest threat,
the Australian Greens.
It's a show about green politics in Australia.
The kind of politics that puts people and the planet before profit.
We talk to cool and interesting people about fighting for good shit, like taxing billionaires,
housing for all,
workers' rights,
First Nations justice,
and drugs. Sweet, sweet, sweet drugs.
Join us on Serious Danger every Sunday. You can subscribe to us anywhere you get podcasts.
You can find us on Patreon. We're at Serious Danger AU on the socials, or just head to seriousdangerpod.com.
That's Serious Danger with me, Emerald Moon.
And me, Tom Ballard. Do you think we need something at the end there? Go Greens.
Welcome to the Sustainable You podcast with your hosts, Jackie Kidman and Lisa Wisdom, self-proclaimed urban hippies, waste warriors, and passionate women. Tune in for practical information and inspiration on how to reduce your impact on the environment and become a more sustainable you.
Before we begin, Lisa and Jackie would like to acknowledge the traditional custodians of country throughout Australia and the places on which we record our podcast. We pay our respects to elders past, present, and emerging.
Hey everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of Sustainable You podcast. Today we have a guest here. We've got Jordan. Jordan is from a company called Stride, and Jordan actually contacted us. I think he must have heard our fashion episode we did back in season one. I don't actually think Jordan did, but he's probably thought all the facts that we said in that episode are probably incorrect, and we really need a professional on here to.
Yeah, we need Mary to step up her game, really, our fact checker.
We have this imaginary fact checker, Jordan, that because we always put some stats out, and then we're like, I hope no one asks us exactly where those come from because we're not 100% sure. Anyway, Jordan contacted us because he runs a sustainable fashion business. And he contacted us and wanted to chat a little bit further about that with us. And as always, Lisa and I are what we're trying to gain from this podcast is to try and learn more ourselves and then also share that with others. So welcome to the podcast, Jordan.
Thank you, guys.
So first of all, let's talk about Jordan and Stride. Where did all this come about?
Yeah, I've had quite a unique journey, to be honest with you both. I wasn't always in the fashion arena, and to be brutally honest, I wasn't always the most conscious and sustainable shopper. Sort of my previous life was in soccer, so my last sort of proper job was playing soccer in Greece. And then about sort of 2 years ago, I decided to shift that and move into a new industry that I was passionate about. And my sort of passion within ethical and sustainable fashion probably started about maybe 4 years ago now. So maybe back in 2016, I was about 20, 21 at the time. And I had this sort of epiphany where I asked myself, do I agree with child labor, the destruction of the environment, human rights abuses? I'm like, no, I despise that. I don't condone that one bit. But then when I looked at my wardrobe and the clothes I was wearing, I'm thinking, well, I'm kind of giving tacit consent to these ills of the world, to what I'm consuming. And I'm quite a sort of, I like to be a bit of an activist with my consumption. So I started researching what about, you know, this slow fashion thing, which I'd never heard of before, and learning about sustainable fashion, ethical fashion, you know, learning about the ills of fast fashion. And I just sort of said to myself, I can't do this anymore. I feel compelled to change. And then I sort of evolved as a consumer over the next few years. And about 18 months ago, so mid-2019, I decided to sort of bite the bullet and start my own sustainable fashion store, and that was Stride. So we really focus on ethical Australian and sustainable fashion. We've just scaled into a beauty range as well, which is like skincare, cosmetics, men's grooming and whatnot, just to help other people who are probably similar to myself, whether that be 4 years ago, 2 years ago, or even today, or just starting their journey, to help sort of match what they believe, what they buy, and be the change they want to see in the world.
Wow. How does a young 20-something-year-old come to those like massive decisions into like really change their lifestyle in that way? Is there a background in sustainability, or like what happened to you?
When I often think about this, the only thing that I can think of that really spurred my interest in sustainability was when I was about 18 or 19, one of my jobs was a door-to-door salesperson with the LED light bulbs. I'm not too sure, if your listeners based in Victoria or around Australia, how the government had this initiative where they were swapping over these halogen light bulbs compared to the LED ones. And I can't remember now the stats, but just how much energy they were saving. It was good for the planet. It was also good for your bill. And I guess that was kind of the first time I really got exposed to it. I think in school, through my own research, I didn't really come across, like, I knew single-use plastics were bad. Like, I think all people know that, but probably didn't understand the extent of it. So I guess probably doing that, and that would have been around sort of 2014, was my first exposure to that. Although it wasn't sustainable fashion, it was more of a sustainable lifestyle. And I think, like I briefly mentioned before, I've always been somebody who likes to kind of be holistic in their value. So as much as I'm far from a perfect consumer, but I try to do the best I can. So, and then learning more about fashion and how much pollution that emits to the world and the carbon emissions and whatnot, that was kind of an easy way for me to extend my values of being more sustainable because, you know, at the end of the day, we all wear clothes. And some of us and a lot more of us now, there's a choice to wear more sustainable clothing, which is amazing to see.
It's very insightful. I'm very inspired by that.
Appreciate it.
Yeah.
No, these young people, Lisa, hey?
Showing the way. It's really good. It's really excellent to slow down and consider like the impacts of everyday lifestyle these days. So I really applaud you for that and making those big changes and then like turning it into a career as well. Yeah. Tell me more about what problem Stride solves.
Yeah, I think the big one, and this came personally from me and I've realized that a lot of other consumers had this issue, was that a matter of convenience. So if you compare it to like the Iconic and ASOS and other big marketplaces who, again, I don't want to bash them and be super negative, but they are mainly fast fashion. With them, they provide customers this vast array of fashion for men, women, non-binary and whatnot, just all these fashion options where in one click you can be sitting in your bed watching Netflix and 2 minutes later you can be shopping thousands of brands and products. It's just so easy to do. So I really want to create a marketplace whereby people can have that alternative for fashion that means something, that you know, is kind to our environment. That's probably one of the big things. And I guess the other problem that we're trying to solve indirectly is just some of the ills in the world. So, you know, I know we can't change change climate change overnight, or we just can't change it in Australia because it's such a small market. But if millions of people make small changes, we can have a global impact. So I don't expect these people to have, you know, 100% organic, zero waste, circular clothing in the next month. But if slowly, slowly more of us can swap from, you know, buying that $5 t-shirt for H&M to maybe buying something that's a little bit more expensive but made organically and made fair to the environment, we can just have such a big impact. And I really want people to feel more empowered in that they can just change their ecosystem, which change other ecosystems, which hopefully can change the world for the better. So they're probably the two that we're trying to solve, but there's probably a few others that I could blab on about for about 3 hours.
That's interesting, isn't it? Because I was just thinking about that concept of when you change something. So I think for a lot of people, changing their food, like, for example, of knowing where your food comes from can seem to be quite a simple step, but it's all together, isn't it? It's just about your food. It applies to all products. We've had guests before sort of say to us as well, like, if you pay $2 for a t-shirt, imagine what the person who made that t-shirt got paid. I've very much made that sort of those conscious choices, well, we have, like Lisa has as well, of buying that good quality piece and being comfortable to also wear it several times. You know, people are kind of like, oh, well, I can't wear that dress again. But buying quality pieces that are a little bit more expensive, but you can wear it over and over again. I had a lady the other day that came into work and I said to her, oh, I love that top. And then she came in again the same Friday the next week. And I said, are you wearing that top? I love again. And she was like, oh, she was actually horrified that she was wearing it again and that I'd seen her. And I said, I'm all about the reusing and over again. You know, I've got tops and outfits that I've worn for 10 years. Yeah. And so I think that as well, like for what your business does is it helps people to take that, the branding of organic or where there's locally sourced foods. I think that that's almost like what Stride helps people to. They don't have to go and do like, do I really trust this brand? Tell us a little bit about your process of how you narrow down brands that you use. Yeah.
So I'm quite lucky nowadays in that Facebook and Instagram, they think I'm my own target market, the business. So I often get ads from these brands, which is really cool. So these sustainably and eco-minded brands come up as my sponsored ad. So that's a big thank you to Facebook for that. But in terms of narrowing them down, first of all, I sort of go to their website and just read a bit more about their about us, go through their products, see what they're made of and whatnot. But I don't necessarily take that on face value, not because I think brands are mischievous or deceitful, but at the end of the day, if you ask pretty much every brand, are you ethically made? They're going to say, yeah, we are. But it's like, can you verify that? Can you prove that? So one of the main things I like to do is ask these brands if they've got any sort of third-party audits from their factories, have they been there themselves, can they share photos? And this information is all kept private because it is quite confidential to the brands. Some of the brands actually, I'd love to give a shout out to GAL, spelled G-A-A-L. Their product description, they tell you everything from where the label's made that goes into the product. So they're 100% transparent. So doing that audit, and then just going through their materials, what they use. So just learning a bit more about what products they use, their waste management strategies, even how they ship their products, and are they using compostable packaging? That's a big one. And then learning a bit more about if they're vegan friendly. I want to be 100% confident that if I'm going to say on Stride that brand ABC is sustainably made or it's ethically made, that I can verify that. Because there is a lot of greenwashing in this industry, and we're still not the perfect retailer. We've got a lot of things we can improve, but we use these core value icons underneath each product and with our six core values, so people instantly know which products are vegan friendly, which products are Australian made, which products are fairly made. Now, all the prerequisite is fairly made, so all of them have to be to prove they're ethically made. But some customers value Australian made over vegan, some customers value vegan over Australian made, and we don't want to tell people what the best way to shop is. You got to shop your own values. But if they satisfy at least three out of the six core values, then they're eligible on Stride.
It's a huge task to do what you just described. I don't know if anybody's tried to do it, but I go through a bit of my own process in my head when I purchase something. Yep. There's a new, there's a brand that's target marketed to me or something. And I'm like, oh, I was looking at something like that. And it's almost like when it gets too hard for me and I kind of go, I'm not sure. I find it really difficult. So yeah. I appreciate that there's companies out there that become that hub to do all the work.
Do all the research for you.
Do all the research and to show people that these are the questions you should be asking as well. Like what you've just listed, like fair trade, ethical, sustainable, like how are they vegan, like all that stuff. Yeah. That's just a base for people to kind of look at or to even ask before they purchase. I mean, that's a huge step as well.
Yeah. And so Jacob's like to interrupt there and say with one of the problems we do solve as well is what you've mentioned there. So consumers don't have to do the independent research and email these brands about how everything's made, if they're vegan friendly, what materials they use. Like you mentioned there, we can do that for you, so you can just shop for style as opposed to having to be the university researcher trying to find out all this data. I appreciate you bringing that up because that is another problem that we try to solve.
Yeah. And the other thing, correct me if I'm wrong, but another feature of your site is that you can shop by your values. So you, instead of just searching for women's, men's or particular styles of clothing or products, you can actually go, okay, well, what have you got on your site that's vegan or that's ethical? And so that's a really good way of just, if you want to buy gifts for people that are, true to a particular value of yours, then you get a whole array of items at your doorstep or on your website.
Yeah. So clever. Very, very clever.
Appreciate it. Now, we've seen a big rise, especially Australian made, in the rise of COVID, being that a lot of Australians now want to support fellow businesses and fellow Australian designers as a way to sort of save our country in a way. So nothing against international brands or international importers in any way, but it's a way to have like our own sort of independent economy to an extent, in that it's Australians giving money to Australian businesses who are then employing Australians. So it's like this really cool holistic approach. So that's been, as much as COVID's been devastating in a lot of ways, it's been quite humbling to see how patriotic we are and how much we support our fellow Australians.
So you've listed a few obstacles. Anything else that you think that has been challenging for you while you've been setting this up?
Yeah, there's been a lot of challenges from both a general business point of view and from more of a niche specific to sustainable fashion retailers. From a business point of view, I think it's like anyone else, and probably you guys with your podcast and with your respective careers, and that at the start, you've really got no idea what you're doing. I'm sure you guys probably look back at what you did in episode one and think like, I'm such a .. You know, what was this? And you look back to how professional you guys are and how well everything's run. It's like, I wish I could do that from day one, but it feels like you have to make mistakes and fail to get better. I think you can't really learn from the sidelines. So I've learned a lot about myself from a business operator and, you know, as a sort of a budding entrepreneur with a few other ventures I've got too, just about a variety of different aspects of the business, but then going into more the sustainable fashion, ethical fashion niche, because these brands are making their products consciously, their margins aren't as big. So, you know, it's in a way then that reflects back to Stride in that our margins aren't as big as well. So it does create some challenges in that regard. You know, if I was to work with some fast fashion retailers, you're probably making an extra, you know, in terms of like your net profit would be maybe probably 50 to 75% more, I'd assume. But that's at the expense of someone else's dignity or at the expense of our environment. So it's not something I could do as much as, you know, probably the financial part of it does sound appealing. It just, I'm not going to sacrifice my values for profit. So that's something that's a bit tougher. And you've seen quite a few other sustainable fashion marketplaces close down recently because it is quite a tough slog in that regard, in that you need to grow slower. And I guess in a way, tying it all back, you need to just grow sustainably. You can't go from zero to 100 really quick. It's got to be incremental so that the business can really absorb that over the long term.
And I guess, you know, price point is a big thing for consumers these days because we're trained to look for, you know, the cheapest and the best value and the biggest discount and quick, get on this deal. But I guess this came up for me, which in a completely unrelated topic, but when we were talking about a gas-led recovery out of COVID and trying to get our households off gas, it's not about going, right, tomorrow I'm going to get our household off gas. It's about saying in the next few years when my gas appliance carks it, I'm going to replace it with a non-gas appliance. And so I guess people need to kind of take that, well, there's a way that people can take that philosophy into their purchases of fashion and beauty and products that they're bringing into their home, is that you don't need to go out tomorrow and spend $5,000 on an entire new sustainable wardrobe, but it's just making that decision at the next time you want to replace a pair of jeans or a particular item that you're bringing in to your home, is thinking about that particular item and saying, well, am I going to just replace it with another shorter term, cheaper product, or am I going to use it as an investment into something that's going to last longer and is true to your values and how you want to live your life? So
couldn't agree more.
So vision for the future for you and for Stride as well?
Yeah, I've got a very audacious long-term goal.
I'm
very audacious. Sort of my goal is to turn Stride into a sort of an Amazon-esque marketplace for everything sustainable and ethical in Australia. So much like, although Amazon's big here compared to America, they're nowhere near as big. I know like a lot of people, instead of Googling products, they sort of Google on Amazon for products. Like, it's next level. It's crazy, but it's another story right there. Yeah. It's massive. But in terms of what I want to try is for people who want to shop consciously, if they want to buy new fashion, if they want to buy new skincare, if they want new candles, if they want even new bin liners, I want Stride to be that go-to destination for everything sustainable and ethical. And as much as I didn't plan this, but like the first letter of Stride is an S, sustainable, the last letter is E. So it's like I want to sort of do something similar with that. And I'd love to say I was smart enough to think about it at the time, but it's just a coincidence. So that's what I kind of want to do, is have that go-to destination for conscious shoppers in Australia. That's where they go. So to be their Amazon of everything ethical, sustainable.
That's an exciting, audacious vision, and I love it. I love it.
Appreciate it. And I said it's one of those things when you have these audacious goals, like even if I don't get there, if I get to 40% of that, it'll still be an amazing business. So it's like it's still quite far away to do that, but that's what I really want to kind of do. And there's so many inspirational stories I've heard. Like, I don't even know much about Catch of the Day, but they've got a really inspirational story with their two founders from an immigrant background. So it's, if they can do such amazing things coming from very little, then I think there's nothing stopping the entrepreneurs of today who have probably been blessed with so much.
Is Catch of the Day Australian?
Yeah, started in Australia. I believe the founders, and I'm not 100% here, I believe they're Jewish, but they're from an immigrant background. And the co-founder, Gabby, is a really interesting character. If anyone wants to look up Gabby Leibovich, I'm not going to try to spell it, But they've got a really cool story. There's a lot of great business stories out there.
We might wrap it up there, but to finish off, Jordan, could you tell us your one sustainable tip for our Sustainable You community?
Yeah, I guess my one tip would be not to try to do everything at once, which is what you guys briefly touched on before. I feel as though some people, when they'll learn about a new thing, would it be about maybe having a more sustainable kitchen, they want to try to go zero waste next week. But I feel as though it's really important just to make these incremental changes to your lifestyle over time that you can manage. It's like some people who go, you know, on a keto diet overnight or go do some crazy diet, and then they'll do it for a couple of days and think, oh, this is way too hard. So I think it's really important just to incrementally make changes so that it becomes a part of your lifestyle, not a change, if that makes sense. So, yeah, just to move slowly, move forward slowly.
Great message. Wonderful. Yeah. Just like your business is doing, and it's a sustainable way.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys. Thank you so much for having me on, and I hope your audience got some value from it, and it was a really humbling experience hearing my journey.
You also have a podcast yourself, Jordan.
Yeah, we do. So it's called Striding Forward. So you can catch it on most sort of podcasting platforms, whether it be like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Breaker, whatnot. Might not be as good as yours just yet, but hopefully soon enough I can be on the level of you guys.
Oh, please. So, I bet you it's just as good. We'll put some links in our show notes to your show and also to your website. Do you have an Instagram?
Yeah, we do. It's at StrideStore_. It's a technical handle. If you just search Stride or StrideStore, it'll come up on Instagram. But that's where we share most of our content. And a lot of it is around sustainability and ethical fashion. So two out of our three posts are non-product related. So there's stats about climate change. There might be insights on sort of ethical fashion facts and whatnot. So you get a lot of value from your audience who I dare say are very knowledge driven. So yeah, please check out our Instagram at StrideStore.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. I really enjoyed that chat with you today. You are an inspiration.
You're too kind, guys. And likewise to you guys, you're doing amazing work and looking forward to hearing more of your podcast.
Thanks, Jordan.
Thanks, guys.
Sustainable You can be found on Instagram at Sustainable You Pod, on Facebook at Sustainable You Podcast, or connect via email at sustainableyoupod@gmail.com. Episodes are created by Lisa and Jackie. If you appreciate the podcasting information shared, please like, subscribe, and share. If you are listening on iTunes, Jackie and Lisa would appreciate you giving them a 5-star rating and writing a review to help other people find their podcast.